Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Are you ready, everybody? Are you ready for tonight's second hour, the second of 3 hours of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning show, coming to you live tonight, Saturday, June 18th, from downtown Memphis, Tennessee. We sit tonight in our flagship radio station, WLRM, AM 1380, and we're going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and, of course, simulcasting online to a global audience of TPC fans at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. So happy to have you with us this evening, the eve of Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you, Eddie. And you can actually wish me a happy Father's Day. You couldn't do that a couple of years ago, but you can now. I have now joined the team, joined the group of fatherhood. Happy Father's Day to Keith Alexander, our faithful co-host who was here with us during tonight's first hour, and to all of the fathers out there in our listening audience. We hope you have a blessed day tomorrow with your children and wives. And, of course, Eddie, as we mentioned, my birthday's coming up on Wednesday, a very big event for me, and you and Keith are going to be kind enough, I hear, to take me out for a little pizza on Wednesday. Of course, we wish all of our fans could join us as well, but we'll eat enough for all of you, or at least we'll die trying. We're going to have a... You know, birthday, I'm a sentimental guy. I'm a nostalgic guy. And first of all, you know, I don't mind talking about my family, and I don't mind talking about birthdays and things of a personal nature on this show, because we're all family as far as I'm concerned. The people who listen to this show, I consider part of my extended family. So, you know, listen, folks, indulge me on this, because I consider you to be like cousins. And so, you know, I met Eddie. The first time I met Eddie, just to show you how fast the hands of time can fly by, I met Eddie. Well, I shared the story actually a couple of weeks ago, and I've shared it several times in the course of our 7 years on the broadcast together. But I first met Eddie in 2002 when I was 22 years old. I was running for the State House of Representatives here in Memphis, and that's how we first met. And now, 9 years later, I'm getting ready to turn 31 years old on Wednesday. Ed, does it seem that we've known each other for 10 years?
No, it doesn't. It seems like it's been, what, 4 or 5, but I start thinking about it, and I just can't realize how fast time has flown. I really can't. You look like a little teenager with peach fuzz on your face when I first met you. Your wife, who was then your girlfriend, Danny, was really scared of me. I could tell she looked like I was something that can, you know, crawled in out of the sewer when I came in over to you. You were over at the Range USA over here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and man, I'm telling you what, she had really good intuition and really good perception, because she steered clear of the Big E.
But now she's part of the family as well, and then so part of your family.
She loves me to death, and I love that baby.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, we're all family, and you're part of the family too, ladies and gentlemen. But as I mentioned at the top of the first hour when Keith was on, we're going to put up a picture on Wednesday of what I looked like when we started this show back in 2004. Then I'm going to put a picture of what I look like today, and you will see the wear and tear of 7 years of hosting the Political Cesspool, what it can do to a man. We're going to put that up on Wednesday, and a lot of people have been asking me this week, Eddie, what they can get me, my friends and blood family members, what they can get me for my birthday. And I said, you can do one or two things. All I want. Now, you know how things change. You know, Dad, can I have a toy car? You know, can I have a model airplane? Can I have a BB gun? It goes from that to, Dad, can you help me with the, you know, utility bill, please, or my mortgage? But no, seriously, you want to send me a birthday present, folks? A donation to the radio show or a bottle of wine? It doesn't matter which. That's all I really want. That's all I really care for now, you know, one or the other. But no, seriously, everybody, I'm glad that you're with us. I'm glad that I can celebrate birthdays with our friends in the listening audience, Eddie, and I'm glad that I can celebrate birthdays with you. This will be, you know, our 10th together. Yeah, it is, you know, and we love friends and family here. This is a very loving broadcast, and every day is a gift from God, and, you know, that's what we've been talking about over the course of the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about liberalism and how it is now infecting the church. And as I said just a few minutes before Eddie got into the studio tonight, Keith and I were talking about how originally I felt as though we were spending an excessive amount of time talking about how liberalism has affected the church. We talked about it for a full 3 hours last week, but we were just inundated with a deluge of emails and letters since last Saturday from people saying that we really struck a chord with them. And in the wake of that, and on top of all of the correspondence we got from our fans as a result of last week's show, we find out, as if they were listening to us, Eddie, as if they wanted to spite us. We were talking about how liberalism has affected all Protestant denominations, including the Southern Baptist. I go to a Southern Baptist church, so does Eddie. 3 days after our show last week, the Southern Baptist elected their first black vice president, and now also this week they are saying that they are in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens. And these are things we're going to be talking about this hour in the Political Cesspool. We're basically continuing our coverage on the issue that started last week, and then a little later on tonight, ladies and gentlemen, during the third hour, we're going to be getting off this topic and getting on to some other things that we've been covering on the website over the course of the last 7 days. But I mentioned to you all the letters and emails we've gotten on this subject. I want to read another one for you now. We've read a couple during the first hour. A writer from here in Memphis opines this: James, last week's show was by far the best discussion about our churches being subverted that I have ever heard on any media. The church leaders are promoting cultural Marxism faster than politicians trying to round up illegal aliens for votes. They're pandering to the very ones who don't believe in Jesus Christ anyway. They're pandering to the Zionists. But most of them don't even know it. Surely, most members of these churches want nothing to do with this. However, just like in our government, it's being forced upon them by the ones who call the shots. Blacks and Hispanics have their own private churches where most whites wouldn't go. Same goes for schools. But they want the best of both worlds, and these people are handing it to them. Thank goodness we don't have to go along with this, because the church we choose is really in our heart. And that is a great comment. Really, kind of strikes at the heart of the matter and really is a good reflection on a lot of the emails and letters that we've received over the course of the last several days. But as I said, new developments are afoot here, Eddie, since last Saturday, since we kind of went into an in-depth commentary on the subject. It appears to have gotten worse and progressively worse. And as I said at the top of the show, you don't have to be, obviously, and this goes without saying, you know, but sometimes you have to admit the obvious because people just don't get it. You don't have to be white to get into heaven. Anyone who accepts Jesus Christ will be entitled to inherit the kingdom of God. All I'm saying is, like with the Tea Parties, and I know we covered this in the first hour, you got three blacks in the Tea Parties, a Tea Party rally, and they're going to be the ones that get to the stage. You know, there's something wrong with that kind of pandering. I hear enough multiculturalism propaganda everywhere else. I don't want to hear it during the hour that I'm in church on Sunday morning. There aren't three black preachers in the Southern Baptist Convention, but one of them managed to be their vice president. We're going to talk about this, and we're really going to hit it hard right after this commercial break. And then, as I said, later on in the show, we're going to talk about different issues. So stay tuned, folks. It's about to really heat up here.
Coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards, joined by my co-host for the remainder of the show tonight, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we are going to move fast and cover a lot of ground. By the time this hour is up, that will make five consecutive broadcast hours that we've dedicated to this topic, and then in tonight's third and final hour, we're going to move on to some other matters. But we're talking about liberalism in the church, how the church has strayed from preaching the Word of God to preaching the so-called social gospel of diversity and multiculturalism. The big news, of course, this week, in the wake of last week's show, which was a barn burner, the Southern Baptists have done two things. The Southern Baptist Convention, which is the governing body that oversees all Southern Baptist churches, And we bring up the Southern Baptist Church specifically because both Eddie and I are members of Southern Baptist congregations, and they are known to be the most conservative of the conservative churches. But nevertheless, they have elected a black vice president and have said amnesty for all illegal aliens. And the election of Pastor Fred Luter, that's his name, we got a picture of him up on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, comes at the same time that the Southern Baptists are making a push for greater diversity. And now I read from the Associated Press, which covered the election of this black preacher from New Orleans and his ascension to the vice president, the first black vice president that the SBC has ever had. Members of the Southern Baptist Convention elected an African-American pastor to its number two position for the first time last Tuesday, signifying an effort to diversify its leadership and flock at a time of declines in overall membership and church attendance. It's a big step for the denomination, whose history is rooted in a split over race. The denomination, the Southern Baptists, originally formed in 1845 in a split with the American Baptist Convention over the question of whether slave owners could be missionaries. The SBC was either silent or actively opposed civil rights through the 1970s, and many congregations excluded blacks. It was not until 1989 that the convention declared racism to be a sin. In 1995, the denomination, the Southern Baptists, also issued an apology to all blacks for slavery. Of course, as Eddie mentions, none of that is in the Bible, but that's what we're here to talk about. Pastor Fred Luter, the black, and not only does he kind of sound like Martin Luther King, Fred Luter, Martin Luther, he looks just like him. It's like he was resurrected. There was no way we can get around it, he said. Here's a convention that started on slavery. Years later, an African-American is one step away from the presidency. I can't deny that. And he's all happy about that, Eddie, of course. David Dockery, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention-affiliated Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, tweeted soon after the voting results were announced that this black gentleman had been elected vice president. Let's hope he'll be elected president next year.
Make him emperor.
Yeah, make him emperor. You know, what are you doing? I mean, why stop at the president? He said that the Southern Baptist Convention has been very effective in creating ethnic churches, but they, Eddie, and this is what they're upset about. Here's what they're upset about. They've got a black vice president, but what they're upset about is that they've not yet created a strategy on how to shift white churches into multicultural churches. That's what they're focusing on. This is the big issue. Total membership, the article concludes, this is an Associated Press piece, total membership in 2010 dropped. Once again, the fourth straight year of decline. Now, here's what I got to say about this. The Christian church is like the rest of our institutions that our ancestors founded, obviously becoming infiltrated and subverted, and are now being used as just another tool to ramrod cultural Marxism down our throats. All of the big Southern Baptist churches, like Bellevue Baptist Church, which is right here in Memphis, Eddie, tout their urban. You walk into their churches. And I've been to Bellevue in the last month. They're touting their urban ministries, and they have advertisements for singles ministries that feature interracial couples. Now, I've got a poster for you on our website that shows you an advertisement that Bellevue Baptist Church, which is the largest Southern Baptist church in the world, and again, it's right here in Memphis, and it features more black people in their ad, in their billboard, than there are in attendance at their Sunday morning service. And as I said the first hour, like the Tea Party rallies, there may only be two blacks in the crowd, but they're going to be sure to be featured on stage or in the promotions. To whom are they pandering? Are they really that eaten up with fear and self-hatred? The leaders of today's Southern Baptist churches are ashamed of their fathers, and they resent everything they stood for. That much is certain. Church leadership in the Southern Baptist Church, and in many denominations, they're going along to get along, and they're following the path of least resistance. They are subservient, spineless little worms who pretend to embrace diversity because it paralyzes them to think that someone might call them a racist in public. Well, I got news for you folks. The modern day if you go by the modern day definition of racist, you are a racist, because all a racist means today is that you are a white person. If you're white, you are a racist, and you might as well get over it. But better for them, they think, to trim themselves and wash the feet of minorities than to stick exclusively to the Word of God and leave out the social gospel of multiculturalism that they mistakenly think that everyone wants to hear. They stand for nothing, and they're content to preside over churches that are becoming nothing more than tax-exempt public recreation centers. And if they want to guarantee a further membership decline, Eddie, all they have to do is stay on their present course, because no sensible family is going to put up with this nonsense for very long. As we all know, the churches, if they continue on their present course, will see the same kind of exodus as the white flight neighborhoods of New Orleans and other cities did, if they are successful in luring in a Rainbow Coalition membership. This is going to be the death of many churches. They're just too stupid to realize it. We've entered into the state of the apostate church in many cases, and it saddens me that the Marxist takeover of our institutions has seemingly been so complete. We're better people than this. We're better people than this, and our faith deserves to have better stewards.
You know, James, there's so much. I could talk about this for 2 hours, but I'm gonna try to start from the top and organize my thoughts a little bit. My blood's boiling a little bit right now. But I'll go the Southern Baptist one further. Instead of just putting in a token vice president, black, or, you know, I say we should get these ministers, these pastors from all these Southern Baptist churches, they should just step down, James. If they want to make the path easier for the illegal aliens, if they don't want to go ahead and scuttle the Constitution, the law of the land, and, you know, they're forever crowing about how they have to, well, we have to obey government, we have to obey the law, you know, Romans 13. Well, that's okay until it comes to Romans 13, until the law starts getting in their little way. Well, I say these ministers should step down, James. They should give up their, nice homes paid for by the church. They should give up their automobiles paid for by the church. They should give up their gasoline credit cards paid for by the church members, the white tax-paying, tithing members of the church. They should give up their endless trips to their Mecca, which is Israel. You know, they should give those up. Have you ever seen a preacher? I have never seen a minister in my life, folks. I don't care if he's only got 50 in the congregation. He doesn't crow about going to Israel. And I'll tell you something else. I'm going to tell you why, if church membership is declining, and Chuck Baldwin says it's not, but if it is, if it's declining, it's declining because God is no longer in these churches, James. They have taken God out of the churches. I've noticed, you noticed on the news what we've been reading tonight with Southern Baptists is coming up. They haven't said one word about Jesus Christ. All they're talking about is trying to get in all these illegals, all the blacks, all the race mixing. Is not one word have they said is scriptural. You can read through the, you know what, 28 months ago, before I became an on fire born again Christian, I knew it in my heart, James. I knew that all this race mixing crap was wrong. But now, since I've read the scripture, and I've read it pretty daggum good, folks, none of this crap is in there. You can go to, we're getting ready to come back in a minute. We're getting ready to go to a break, folks, but come back. Get your asbestos underwear on, because we're getting ready to really light you up.
Well, stay tuned, everybody. I don't know if we can get any hotter in this studio or on this broadcast than it is right now, but we're fired up. We're fired up because this is happening to our families. You know, this is who we are. And we hold some people to a higher standard, and it upsets us a little bit more when they are the ones who let us down. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in the Political Cesspool right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
I know that a lot of our fans, Eddie, first of all, let me explain to you what I see now when I look at Eddie. And I want to get a quick clarification on this, and then we're going to get back to the topic at hand. I'm looking at Eddie, a born and bred Southerner. Got ancestors that fought and fell for the Confederacy just like I do, that we're both so proud of. Yet he comes into the studio tonight wearing a t-shirt that says, "I love New York." Eddie, I'm going to have to ask you to explain yourself.
Well, when I was up yonder in the Big Apple, Well, if you've been up there a few times, you know, I always like to bring presents back to people in churches, especially there's a group of young, single women that teach. One of them has taught my grandson 3 years in a row. She stopped teaching him in the eighth grade. Another beautiful young lady who's hardcore Christian, she teaches him Spanish now. And there's a couple of other teachers there that I've taken under my wing. And I tell you, James, I can truthfully tell you, and everybody that knows me, I would die for these girls. They're like my own flesh and blood. Matter of fact, I call them my spiritual daughters and granddaughters, my granddaughters and daughters in Jesus Christ. Because, you know, and that's backed up by Scripture. If you don't believe me, folks, go to Matthew 12, 45 through 50, coming straight from memory. And that will tell you, and basically, in a nutshell, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is he is my brethren, you know. You're kin. Well,
have an answer why you're wearing the New York shirt.
Okay. Okay. Hey, getting back to that. Hey, I'm a politician. Yeah, I got them a whole box load of cookies and candy and shirts. You know, these women, they love T-shirts and hats and all kind of trinkets like that. And I've had a couple of them left over. And I just came in from cutting grass. I'm probably smell like a goat. And I slammed this on the first thing I could get.
He's dirty tonight, folks. So he's going to put on a shirt that he doesn't really care about. Well, that makes sense. I just wanted to make sure, you know, we weren't losing you here. I love New York. Now, this is a man who went to Times Square wearing a David Duke for Senate T-shirt. So, you know, this guy... and a political cesspool shirt. I wore a political cesspool T-shirt in front of Radio City Music Hall. Well, anyway, what I was going to say before Eddie's shirt, you know, just kind of took over my train of thought is, I'm sure some of our fans are thinking that we're exclusively a show now that only talks about you know, liberalism in the church, which we've been talking about for the last show and a half. Well, rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, if this isn't your signature issue, we are going to cover totally different items. We're going to get back to our regular charted course during tonight's third hour, and we will continue to revisit this topic as needed, of course, but we cover every show, every topic. We're not a one-trick pony. But I want to bring up something I'm looking at now also, and then turn it over to Eddie for some commentary. I know he's got some scripture verses here to share with you. We're gonna completely turn this into a Christian broadcast before the show's over. Yeah, we're gonna have a hellfire preaching sermon here in a minute. But no, anyway, if you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you will see that we have a article entitled "Southern Baptists Elect First Black Vice President" there, and it goes into all the details that we've been sharing with you tonight and last week. There, too, you will find an advertisement, and I mentioned this in the last segment, for Bellevue Baptist Church. Bellevue Baptist is the largest Southern Baptist congregation in the world. It's right here in Memphis. And if you have ever been there, and I've been there a few times, I actually went a couple of weeks ago because my wife wanted to check it out. And Bellevue Baptist, huge facility, 98% white congregation. But they feature here in Memphis on billboards. And also, if you go to their website, you will see kind of an online advertisement, which is a knockoff of the billboard that says, "Welcome." And it has a group of people here that they are portraying to be members of the church. And they've got 8 people in this advertisement that also serves as a billboard that you see when you're driving around town. 3 of them are black, 1 of them is Hispanic, and then you've got 2 whites and then 2 white kids. And the way they've got them grouped on this billboard and in this ad on their website is that you see a black man and woman who are obviously a couple. Then you see a white guy with a Mexican wife. They look to be a couple. And then you see a white guy with a black wife, and apparently they somehow have 2 redheaded kids. And this is the ad. This is the ad. Now, again, if you go to Bellevue, if Bellevue had a membership that represented this, if they were 50% black, you know, 20% Hispanic, and 30% white, then this would be a pretty fair billboard. But when you go to Bellevue and they're 98% white, you got to wonder why they're featuring so many people who obviously don't go to their church in their advertisements. Eddie said, well, I guess it's just because that's what they're striving to be. That's what they want to be. But this This, again, is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. You know, all they needed to do is just put a cross or a picture of Jesus Christ on their billboard and say, you know, Bellevue Baptist Church, these are our worship hours. Have a picture of a cross. You don't have to put an all-white family on there. I don't care. Just put a picture of a cross. You know, I don't want to go to church to get a political sermon. I want to go to church to hear from the Word of God, no more, no less. But that is not what you're getting here in these churches today. And, Eddie, I know you brought it up. Macon Road is very similar to most Southern Baptist churches in so much is that it's all pretty much all white, 99%. Now, Macon Road is having, as we talked about last week, their outreach to the Spaniards. And when they say Spaniards, what they really mean is illegal aliens. And as we just found out, Eddie, tonight, in addition to electing a black vice president for the first time, the Southern Baptists are now advocating making all of the amnesty for illegal aliens. Well, that's just like, you know, why not just not, let's just be for letting all convicted murderers off of death row. You know, I don't know what happens when you get to heaven. Now, granted, everybody who accepts Christ, this is the third time I've said this show, can inherit the kingdom of God with us. I don't know if once we die, everybody has the same IQ and everyone has a low propensity for crime and violence, but that is not the way it is here on earth. Here on earth, people are different, and different ethnic groups have different genetic predispositions. And there is a reason why I prefer, you know, that's what the civil rights movement was all about. It was about the abolition of private property rights and freedom of association. That's what it was all about. Okay? Here on earth, different groups of people are more prone to crime and rape and murder and violence than others are. And you know what I'm talking about. And that's why, for the safety of my family, and just for my general preference, I know there are good people in every race. We all know that. But I prefer to be with my own family. That's all it is. I don't hate anybody, but I have a natural inclination to be with people who share my culture and my values and my traditions. That's all. Has nothing to do with hate. But, you know, you see this ad at Bellevue that has this Rainbow Coalition on it. These people obviously don't go to their church. But, you know, I don't want to go to church and get some sort of multicultural political sermon. I want to go to church and hear from the Word. And you mentioned this at your church, Ed. You know, your pastor, once in a blue moon, you said, Eddie, that you will get a black visitor at your church, which is fine. You know, we're not for, you know, if they want to come to our church, it's fine. I wouldn't, you know, exclusively gear my sermons toward, you know, recruiting them, but anybody can come to any church, and we're not going to, you know, bar them. You know, that's fine. We're not going to turn away anybody. But, you know, to go out of your way to recruit that, I think, is above and beyond your call as a minister. But anyway, you said every now and then, church, you get a black guest at your church. And you said your pastor would literally bowl over, you know, just, you know, hurdle over the, you know, members that have been there for years to try to show how thankful he is. Does he do that when you get your average, you know, white family off the street visiting?
No, as a matter of fact, it made my wife kind of bitter. She, you know, because she was there one night. We had, I believe it was a sports banquet. I couldn't be there that night. I think I was working. But she said this, the pastor just literally almost ran over her to get to a mixed race couple to come in. And James, I'm going to tell you something else.
We got 60 seconds, then we got a break, and we'll come back.
Okay. Well, in the 60 seconds, folks, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you. I'm just going to read, kind of touch on some scripture when we come back about the separateness from heathens. It's demanded that we separate from ourselves from heathens. And most of the Spaniards, Mexicans, a.k.a. Mexicans, when they come up here, most of them are coming from a background of Catholicism mixed with paganism. And that's fact, folks, because I was at a Catholic church for 20 years. And if you're in a Catholic church, you need to get out of there. You know, they have all these Mexicans in there, and the Catholic Church has become, you know, a paganistic church. And most of the Mexicans that come up, they, you know, from the liberation theology, they mix up Catholicism with paganism. And they're not going to be good Baptists. And, James, I guess we're about to get ready to go to a break here, son. But we're going to go over this when we come back about the, I'm going to touch a little bit on what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a Jew and a Gentile.
And after that, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you we're going to get off this kick and cover some other political issues during tonight's third hour. Thank you for indulging us and bearing with us. This is an important topic, though, and we're trying to give it enough time to cover all the bases.
Political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family. I give you my word. At the top of the third and final hour tonight, we're going to cover ground, new ground, a variety of stories, our standard fare. But it has just been really pressing on our hearts and minds to lay out the case and the groundwork here. We're so disappointed in the direction that many of our Protestant denominations are going in. And then, of course, on the heels of last week's show, we have the revelation that the Southern Baptists have now, in an effort to promote more diversity, elected their first black vice president, and now also are clamoring for amnesty for illegal aliens. And that being said, to kind of cap off our thoughts on this over the course of the last couple of weeks, Eddie is going to share with you some scriptures from the Bible itself. So if you think this sounds harsh, you can take it up with the good Lord. Don't write us emails about it. Eddie going to be reading from the Bible now, and then again, we're going to get off this after this segment and get on to some new fields, plow some new fields in the third hour tonight.
James, before I go to Scripture, and I'm getting ready to go to Scripture very shortly, I want to revisit one statement I made. In order to expedite the diversification of the churches, instead of having a token vice president who's black, I reiterate, I implore every white minister that voted for this measure in the Southern Baptist Convention, you need to step out of the way. You need to step down. You need to appoint a black minister or a Mexican illegal minister, preferably illegal. You need to take all your children out of these religious schools where they're getting free tuition. You need to give up your parsonages. You need to give up your trips to Israel every year and all the endless benefits that come with being a minister. Now, after that, this stuff that I'm reading from Scripture comes from the King James Holy Bible. I consider it the gold standard. All right. Now, the stuff I'm reading right now comes out of the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. And it talks about separateness from heathens is demanded. And I mentioned a minute ago that most of the Mexicans coming up here from Mexico are of Catholic, from the Catholic faith. And it's well known, anybody in our circles, that the Catholic faith coming up out of Mexico, they are mixed with the Jesuit brand of liberation theology. And they are mixed with all the pagan, they have the Catholicism mixed with paganism. Well, let me tell you what God says. This is Eddie Miller talking. God says, when the Lord thy God bring thee up out of the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee. He mentioned the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and a bunch of those other ones. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou, you cast them out. He said, when the Lord God deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. By the way, this isn't me talking. This is God. If you're a Christian, this comes right out of the King James Version of the Bible. All right, here you go. It says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give thee into his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take into thy sons. Because they will turn away thy son from following me, and they may serve other gods. In other words, James, he's saying you're not to mix Christian people. In the old days, they were following God, and everybody knows he's a hardcore Christian. They know that in the Old Testament times, everything was pointing toward the second covenant. We now have a new covenant, which is far superior to the old covenant. And I'm also going to go over here and read one more thing from this Deuteronomy. This is the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy, from 9-12. It said, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds. That means different types of seeds. Lest thy fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, which different sorts. And for instance, it says you're not supposed to have a garment made of woolen and linen together. Okay, now I'm shifting gears. I'm going to go over here to what it says about the Jewish folks. When I say Jewish, I mean non-Christian Jewish folks. You know, the Pharisees were for in the scribes were for instance they were always a thorn in the side of Jesus Christ. All right, he says, here's what Jesus was talking. He's addressing the Pharisees now. And this comes from the 8th chapter of John. And I'm reading from you. I'm going to start at the 37th verse and go down to about 45. I'm going to touch and go. But it'll be between the 37th and the 45th verse of 8th chapter of John. Okay, Jesus addressing the Pharisees. I know that ye are Abraham's seeds. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I repeat, my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Okay, if ye were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. Keep in mind, now he's talking to the cream of the crop of the Jews in those days, the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the cream of the crop of the Jews. That's who he's addressing. He says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, he's saying Abraham didn't do that. Now, I'm skipping down here to the verse 42. He says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And this is why they couldn't understand his speech. He's laying on them right now, James. He says, the reason you came is because, and this is the 44th verse of the 8th chapter of John. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that's your precious Jews that he's addressing to in those days. Now, let me go over here and tell you what this little guy named Paul, by the way, some people call him St. Paul in the Catholic Church, in the Episcopalian Church. This is his criterion for being a Christian and being saved. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And the schoolmaster he's talking about is the old Hebrew law. Now, get this, folks. Hang on. Here's where he says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all of one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I repeat that. If you be Christ, ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And folks, that comes straight from the King James Version. That comes straight from what the Apostle Paul says it becomes a Christian. If you look in there, he didn't say you got to be a Jew to get into heaven. I don't care if Abraham himself rises from the grave. That knee is going to have to bow. He's going to have to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel that's not being taught in most of these apostate churches now. They're teaching you the gospel of social Marxism.
Yeah, Eddie, you know, and just to put an exclamation point on that, which you just read, if Jesus Christ himself walked into Bellevue Baptist Church, he would be thrown out for the things he believes today. And that is, I think, as clear as we can make the point. If Christ himself walked into many of these churches, because they are more interested today in preaching the social gospel of political correctness than they are the word of God, Jesus Christ himself would be run out of Bellevue Baptist Church. You know, he didn't say anything in the Bible about giving amnesty to illegal aliens. He didn't say anything about going out of your way to recruit people who don't want to be there to join your flock. You know, and I read this now, and this is an official press release. We have confirmation now that the Southern Baptists are, in fact, going after the illegal aliens. Southern Baptists adopt what they call, Eddie, a gospel response towards undocumented immigrants.
Well, undocumented is not in the King James Bible.
And so this is something that they passed This is something they passed during the same conference that they elected the black gentleman to be their vice president. Resolve that we are asking government authorities to implement with the border secured a just and compassionate path to legal status. The messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention call on our churches to be in the presence of Christ, both in proclamation and ministry, to all persons, regardless of immigration status. That's what they're saying.
In other words, to hell with the law. You know what? They're all, like I going back to, further, in the church, if you mention anything going out and protesting against abortion, against the Federal Reserve, against the intrusion of the United States government into the states' rights, they'll say, we cannot do that because we're under Romans 13. You know, we got to obey the law. We have to obey the Constitution. Well, where in the Constitution does it say we can destroy the Constitution by letting the illegals in, James?
Well, we got to take a break, folks, and we're just going to leave it at that. We'll revisit this subject as it comes up, but during tonight's third hour, we're going to move on to other issues. Home churches may be the way to go, Christians. Home churches, just like homeschooling, it's come to that. The churches today are as bad as the public schools. We're going to take a break. We'll see you in the third hour. Stay tuned.
There's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.